God bless you. That's good singing all the way around. I don't care where you're from. And so I hope you'll take your Bible, if you will, please, this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter number 7. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Now, I'm not talking about just being a member of the church. I'm not talking about just being religious. I'm talking about being saved by the grace of God and knowing in whom that you have believed. Joshua 7, verse 1, if you're able to stand, let's look there in that chapter. Chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the cursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the west side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up, and they viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua, and they said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even to Shibarim, and they smote them in the going down, and whereof the hearts of the people melted, and they became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide, and he and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. We do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bless the word to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while for a few minutes, if I might, on the smell of victory and the agony of defeat. You know, there's nothing better than whenever you get when you go to win something, whether you're in a competition or not. And I'm not talking about one of these deals where we're all winners and we're all of us going to get the same grade, but where that there's been some competition and you've had to put forth an effort and now you're a winner. And boy, nothing like that good feeling of being able to win. And then there's nothing like the agony of defeat whenever it's all jerked out from under. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say that Israel had been victorious. Do you remember whenever God had told them they were going to cross over Jordan and how that God parted the river and let them, though it was out of bounds, and let them get across there? And how that they had marched around the city of Jericho. And as they went in their first conquest and marched around the city of Jericho once every day for 6 days, and they didn't make any sound whatsoever. On the seventh day, they were to march around that wall of that city 7 times. And then on the last time, by the command of God, they were to shout with a great shout. Remember that? And they did that, and the walls fell down flat. And they went in, burned up, and killed everything inside except for Rahab and those that were in the house with her. I want to say that when you begin to look into this lesson that's here this morning, you'll find that number one is that obeying the Lord is walking with God in the light of His command or in His word. Now, in the day and hour we live in this country that's here, we used to have that, and in God we trust on our money. Somebody used to, when I was a kid, you'd say, in God we trust, all others pay cash. I mean, if you... Because you couldn't find very much credit. My kin folks, they operated like this. They charge a little bit at this store. When they got to where they finally run out of their welcome there, they left that and they went and charged at another store. And then they left. I hope none of you are trying that or practicing that. But that's kind of the way they did business, and hoping that sooner or later that first store would go out of business, change hands, and they'd be able to go and get started over again. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, that obeying the Lord is walking with the Lord. No hook, no crook, no loopholes, not looking for anything. Let me tell you, the Bible said that in chapter number 6, and don't turn there, in verse number 20, and they took the city. What a victorious thing that it was. Never had to fire a shot, just shouted at the command of God. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, what a thing. Just obeying God, looking to the promise of God, depending upon the Lord, brought a great victory and had a great celebration. Remember the day you first got saved? Remember how joyful that you were, how jubilant that you were, how victorious that you were? You just felt clean all over again inside and out because you were. And then down the road, if you're not careful, you got to trying to help God figure out what ought to be done, how it ought to be done. And you took a few guesses, and first thing you know is you're in over your head, needing to fall on your face and trying to get business straightened out with God. That's just the way that it is. I had a preacher friend one time told me, he said, you know, since the day I've been saved 30-some-odd years ago, he said, I've never sinned one time. I thought, you're an idiot. Either you don't know what sin is, you're the biggest liar that ever moved in this county, or something's radically wrong with you. Let me just tell you right now is that I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I don't want to. Somebody said, do you believe that a Christian can sin? Not only do we believe it, we practice it. I'm ashamed to say that we practice sinning. And we ought not to just enjoy sinning and living in sin. And God will smite your heart when you do sin. But let me tell you, if you're a child of God, you and I are not exempt from sin. But we are exempt from sin and enjoying it. And there's pleasure in sin for a season. But now that you and I are born again, sickest feeling you'll ever feel is whenever you're out of step with God and out of fellowship with God. Number two is there's a warning from the Lord that was given. Now, when you go into the city of Jericho, I don't want you taking the accursed saying everything and everybody's to be destroyed, burnt with fire, except for the silver and gold, and it's to be brought into the treasury. Now, I hadn't had time to look it up, but one of them old gentlemen that days gone by said there's 10 cities they took over, and that the money that they've taken out of Jericho is going to be a tithe for the other nine. And whenever Achan robbed silver and gold, he was robbing God. I don't know how much there is to that, but the old codger, I hadn't had time to look it down because he's kind of hard to be able to follow. And whenever you do find out that, hey, either he don't know what he's talking about, or, hey, that was pretty good, I didn't see that. Here's what I want to tell you right now is, here's what I do know, is that will a man rob God? Yeah. Yet you have robbed me, he told Israel, through tithes and offerings. I got to say to you is, and when you begin to look into that, God is not any man's debtor. And you and I, whenever we've done the best we can do, all we can do is say that we have but followed the command of our own Lord to do our duty. We've not done more. Do you suppose that he owes us because we've obeyed him? No, we've only done what is our duty to do. The warning from the Lord is that when you go into there, I don't want you to take anything out of that city that's there. Do you know that victory comes with a caution? In fact is, you know, every time that you win a victory, there's some other battles that are going to have to be fought. Namely, Ai was one of the cities that were there. God had told them, said, I want you to take caution now. Don't you take God for granted, and don't you take the enemy for granted. See, those people, they got the view and they thought, man, as tough as we are, as rough as we are, now we're just going to go ahead and send a few up. Lord, no need sending everybody. Go ahead and send 2,000 or 3,000. This enemy of Ai, there are but a few people that's there. And let me tell you, they had to tuck their little tail and run because you can't take the devil for granted and the enemy for granted. Let me say that when you look into it, and we're not going to take time to look at it now, but over in chapter number 8 and about verse number 25, you'll find is that Ai had about 12,000 men. So you better not send 3,000 men up against 12,000 and take them for granted. You'd better go at the command of God and only at the command of God. Notice, if you will, that all the celebration and all the victory, he's now got a dampened thing on the scene. All their hopes have been dashed to the ground. And the reason being, we read in chapter 7 and verse number 1, Israel has committed a trespass. Israel has sinned. Now, nobody else at that time knew it. All the people were wondering, why in the world are we defeated? Why have we gone to such a little city like Ai? I mean, we didn't fire a shot. We didn't do anything but march around the city and shout at the command of God whenever we came into Jericho and took that city. Now we've got these mighty men of valor, and they've had to tuck their little tail and run. And we want to know why, Lord, Joshua's asking. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you what we ought to learn from them, is that sin, man's sin, will affect more than just himself. Do you realize and know that, fellas, as Brother Darrell brought out, and some of you Sunday school teachers, and I'm sure that you brought out, is that when a person is going to represent God, the first thing he's got to do is he's got to receive it himself. And then for his own household, and then for others that are round about. You know what we're talking about? Here in this lesson here, you'll find that sin has affected this whole nation. You need to grab hold of that, because sooner or later somebody's going to tell you what they're doing is nobody's business but theirs. I got news for you. Your sin will find you out, and your sin will affect somebody else. In fact, is you'll find out is Achan didn't know anybody else was watching but God whenever he took the accursed thing and took it and he hid it. And let me tell you right now, our sin will and does affect other people. Remember over there in the book of Exodus, do not turn there, but in chapter number 20 and about verse number 5, he said, I'll visit the iniquity of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. I'm sure that four generations down the road from that bunch, they were wondering, what in the world have we done? Not anything particularly. You're paying for the sins of your fathers. And let me say to you that if you will, you don't want to bring that upon your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. What you want to do is you want to be able to recognize and realize and know that our sin not only affects us, our family, but our nation and others round about us. And I got to tell you right now is that in the day and hour that we're living in, over there in the book of Genesis, turn quickly there, chapter number 9, don't lose your text, but over in the book of Genesis in chapter number 9 and about verse number 25, that's the reason why the world, the flesh, and the devil hates God and the Bible and everything good, right, moral, and decent. You remember that man by the name of Noah? And this Bible said that Noah now is about to get on an ark that God told him to make. And wasn't going to be anybody saved. Everybody else was gone from the world except Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, eight people. I can remember whenever I was in school and they introduced forced busing. I can remember the first couple of kids that were brought to our school and they looked out of place and felt out of place and they were out of place. But the nation had a good thing in mind. They was going to stamp out racism. I didn't believe it was going to work, but look at us now. You know the reason why you're not changing that? I'm fixing to read it to you. You're not going to ever change what God's given down in that Bible. In the Bible said, when you look into it, is that in chapter number 9, verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wife, and he knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. Now, you know who that is? That's a grandchild of Ham. You know why he didn't curse Ham? I can tell you why. It's because he had already blessed him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. There's where your Jew comes from. And Canaan shall be a servant. And God and Lord of Japheth, that's where Gentiles come from. And he shall be in the tents of Shem. And Canaan shall be a servant. By the time you get to the New Testament, there is no Shem and Japheth and Ham, but you'll find there's Jew and Gentile and the church of the living God. Now, I'm telling you, you're never going to change what God's given in that Bible. Now, do I love people of any color? I certainly do. I certainly do. Will I preach the gospel to anybody, any color, any place? Sure I will. But I'll tell you right now, I will not go beyond what the bounds of the Scripture are when it comes down to being able to rightly divide the word of truth. What a person needs to be is to be thankful that God, by the grace and mercy of God, allow people to get saved regardless of where they are, regardless of their color, regardless of their creed, regardless of their kinfolk, regardless of where they were brought up. And by the grace of God, he'll save them and make them a part of the church of the living God. If so be, they'll repent toward God and by faith trust Jesus Christ. Now, the world doesn't believe that. They don't want to believe that, and they're not going to believe that. Do you realize at all that here's something else they don't believe? When this thing took place, there wasn't but one saved preacher left on the face of the earth. Did you know that the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. You know what that tells me? Probably most preachers that you know of will be dead and in hell one of these days. And you'll absolutely be amazed. How in the world could that be? Boy, I'd never seen that coming, all that. God said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. That's the reason why the average Baptist church has got a dead head in the pulpit. That's the reason why that across the country that people are departing right and left from the faith. Did you realize at all that when people are trying to tell you that my sin's not going to bother anybody but me, they just don't know what God said in the Bible, because the Bible said in Romans chapter 14 and about verse number 7, no man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. Now let me tell you, it's going to make a difference. What, hey, have you ever noticed is that your kids, every now and again, they'll come out with some kind of a curse word that they learned from you? Did you notice that? No man liveth unto himself, nor dieth unto himself. Your conduct is going to make an impact on somebody somewhere. The closer I get to coming to the going home to be with the Lord, the more careful that I want to be. I'd like to be able to leave a legacy behind, somebody that loved God and the Bible, that preached the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear or favor, and, you know, that preached heaven real and hell hot. And let me tell you, wouldn't that be something now to tarnish your testimony at this close to the finish? It's bad enough any time, but this close to the finish line of your life, see? I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that number four of this lesson here, is that they came up against a city by the name of Ai that was small, few in number compared to Israel. And these men here, they decided they could take them. But you know the reason they couldn't take them? They had sin in their camp. In the lesson we're looking at, you'll find out they went to view the country. Joshua told them, I want you to go out and view the country. We read about it a few minutes ago. And they thought about 2,000 or 3,000 people was going to do the job, and said, because there's such few people over there in Ai, but over there back in our text, when we look in it, they got out there in a battle, and they got to fight with Ai, and it wasn't long until 36 men of Israel died, and they were on the run for their lives, and they ran by. And boy, I'm going to tell you, the Bible said in verse number 5 that we read, that the people there of Israel, when they saw they'd been defeated, that their hearts melted and ran out like water. You know what sin will do for your life? It'll rob you of your courage. It'll rob you of your victory. It'll rob you of your celebration. Now, I don't know of anybody in here, you know, that's got any probably sin in their life. We're probably one of the best crews on the face of this earth. But those of you that may be or may be planning such, don't let me stop you. I mean, just go on and grab for all the hell and gusto you can grab. But I'm going to tell you, and I'll preach tonight, there's a high price to pay for low living. See? In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out they were defeated. Oh, man, I'm telling you right now, their hearts melted, their hearts sunk, their hearts ran out like water. You know why? Sin was in their camp, and sin had robbed them of their courage. All right, number five this morning, let me tell you, Joshua in verse number 6, he rent his clothes. Now, you know, if you're in the presence of God, and God is knocking upon your heart's door in caution, then you better find where the presence of God is. And Joshua found it there at the Ark of the Covenant, where the mercy seat was. And he rent his clothes and fell upon his face. And there he stayed there until the evening. And he was praying. And he was asking God, Lord, why have we suffered this? We'd have been better off to stay on the other side. Why are we now troubled on every hand? Everybody, the enemy will encircle us or environ us. They used it there, and whenever they do, we're going to be the laughing stock of the country. I got to say to you that he stayed there, and he made his mind up. He's going to stay there with the Lord on his face until finally God met with him. Now, you know what's wrong with the average Baptist? Here's what we do. We do something. God smites our heart about it. and rather pour out our heart to God and stay there at the altar with God till He meets with us and His presence is there. We're just real quick, like now, lay me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, you know, or sit down, you know, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for the food, and amen. I will tell you, sometime we may just need to get a hold of the horns of the altar and stay till God can really meet with us. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever do and God meets with you, you won't be like the rest of the religious world that we're living in. There's some things they're doing God's not going to let you do. There's some places they're going God's not going to let you go. I want to tell you is that when you look into it and you stay till God will meet with you. Could I ask you in closing this part of this sermon? Do you really want something from the Lord? Do you really want to stay until He answers? Do you really want to repent and believe the gospel? Well, that's a good question that we ought to be asking, and the reason why that we live in a world that's busy about business as usual. I can't tell you how many people that I pass every Sunday morning, and I look in their yard, and they're out there doing their lawn or manicuring their flower bed or getting ready to have a barbecue or have a good time with a Jesus cross, and then Jesus is the answer, poked down in their yard. See? You think they know what they're really talking about? You think they even been awakened? Did it? You think they've ever met with God and God met with them? I suppose not. I want to say in closing, I don't know about the rest of the world, but I do know about me. And I'm glad that by the grace of God that I am what I am. Are you saved? If not, I trust you'll come to know the Lord before it's everlasting too late. And may He get upon your trail to the extent, whether you're here, whether you're there, whether you're somewhere else out there, that He still troubles you about your soul's condition. If you're a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, let me tell you, you'll have to get saved the same way I did, and that's God making it clear that you're a sinner that needs saving grace. That's the way it is. I wonder this morning while we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us. These that have gathered here like this, Lord, what a refreshing that it's been. What a blessing that it's been just to be here in God's house. And I pray that now you'd save the lost, save that soul that's nearest hell. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. And dear God, may we have an attitude of prayer till you meet with us. I pray you'd show us ourselves like you see us. And we'll thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen.